Welcome back to The Deep Dive. This deep dive is proudly supported by SafeServer. They handle the hosting for this kind of software and can really help with your digital transformation. You can find out more and see how they can help you at www.safeserver.de. So today we're undertaking a mission to understand what happens when you just decide to, burn the communication servers to the ground. If you're tired of these centralized tech platforms treating your private conversations as, commercial inventory, or if you're worried about your data being decrypted years after you hit send, you need to hear about ChitChatter. It's a secure peer-to-peer chat application that is, and this is the key, truly serverless and ephemeral.
And that's our challenge today. We've got a stack of source material here, mostly from the project's own GitHub readme. Our goal is to translate these sometimes intimidating concepts like decentralized web mesh architecture into something practical and really understandable. We're going to show you exactly how a modern, high-functioning chat app can manage real-time video, audio, and file transfers without a single company running a database or, a controlling server.
That just sounds like a technical impossibility for most people. I mean, if you grew up on platforms like WhatsApp or Slack, the whole idea is there's a central place. So the paradox is, if there's no place to store the chat, how does the conversation even exist?
Exactly. And the answer to that fundamentally changes everything for the user, from their security to their regulatory exposure.
Okay, let's unpack this then. Let's start with the why, the underlying risk. Why did the developers feel they even needed to build this?
Well, it all comes down to eliminating the target and the lever.
Hmm.
All the existing user-friendly apps, they rely on a central service.
Mm-hmm.
And that central service, it just inevitably creates this massive data target that hackers or even nation states want to get into. And critically, that central service also gives commercial interests and governments a legal lever. They can compel the operator to hand over user data or maybe even future decryption keys.
Right. So even if the data is encrypted, which, most major platforms promise, the real worry is that if they're storing that encrypted data at rest, then some future technological breakthrough or judicial pressure could force them to decrypt it.
Precisely. If the company holds the encrypted data, they hold the eventual risk. ChitChatter's whole architecture is designed to avoid that problem. By making sure there is no central database, it means there's nothing for a third party to hack and nothing for a judge to subpoena.
So that's the web mesh architecture in action. To make this work, the sources highlight what they call the big three pillars. Let's tackle the jargon head on. First up, decentralized or serverless? If they don't have an API server, where does the app itself even live?
That's a great question, because this is where the system gets pretty clever. For its basic functionality, ChitChatter only requires things that, that already exist publicly. It needs GitHub, which is really just acting as a public distribution point. Think of it like a free shelf where anyone can download the application code, the static assets. Then for the connection, it relies on public WebTorrent and Tern relay servers. These are just, generalized public services used by lots of P2P applications.
Okay, so the app itself is hosted on one public service, and the connection setup relies on other public services. But, and this is the key part, none of these third parties are actually managing or seeing the conversation.
Correct. The conversation is totally private, peer-to-peer. It's sort of like downloading an application from a public library and then using a public phone book to find your contact's number. But the actual phone call is a direct line-to-line connection, not routed through the library's central office.
That makes sense. And that leads us to the second pillar, which is ephemeral. I know it means temporary, but what's the practical implication of a chat app being truly ephemeral?
The implication is irreversible loss. The source material is very, very clear about this. Message content is never persisted to disk, not on the client, and certainly not on any server. If you're in a peer room and you close that window, those messages are cleared from your device's memory. They are just gone forever.
Wow, okay, that's a huge trade-off for security. You gain absolute privacy, but you lose your chat history permanently. That would have to change user behavior in a big way.
It does. But it absolutely guarantees that whatever you discussed cannot be retrieved. And the third pillar, the layer that really seals the private conversation, is end-to-end encryption. Since the chat runs on WebRTC, that's the standard protocol for browser-to-browser real-time communication, the data is encrypted from the moment it leaves your browser until it lands in your peer's browser.
All right, that covers the philosophy of minimizing risk. Let's get into the mechanics now. If I want to start a secure chat right this second, how does the connection actually happen?
It starts really simply. You open https.chitchatter.im and you join a room. By default, the app generates a long randomized string, a UEID, right there on your device, in your browser. And that's your room name.
And the conversation is mostly browser to browser, P2P. But what if, you know, my network firewall is being difficult or my peer is in a tricky location? P2P connections aren't always a sure thing.
That's a critical challenge for any decentralized app, and they've thought about it. If a direct P2P connection isn't possible because of network conditions, ChitChatter just gracefully falls back to using a Tern relay server. This Tern server, it acts as a kind of temporary digital bridge. It just relays the encrypted packets without ever decrypting or storing the content. So it ensures reliability while maintaining that security framework.
Now, this feels like the most crucial security step for anyone listening to grasp. Since there's no central key management, the user has to do the security handshake themselves. The room name is the key.
Yes, and this is absolutely non-negotiable for security. Users must share that unique URL, which has the room name in it, through a secure, out-of-band channel. The sources specifically recommend tools like Burnernote or YoPass. And the reason is simple but profound. The room name acts as the file transfer encryption key.
Okay, so if I get lazy and I just send that URL in an insecure SMS or an unencrypted email, what's the risk?
The risk is that anyone who intercepts that insecure message now has the room name. And that's the key to decrypting any file transfers and maybe even joining the room itself. You've basically just centralized the risk right back into the insecure channel you chose for the setup. The tech forces you to be the security manager for that initial handshake.
That's a powerful insight. The biggest weakness in a serverless system is often the human element in sharing those initial connection details.
Absolutely.
Let's shift a little bit to the features that build trust. For these privacy-focused tools, what they don't do often speaks louder than what they do. I think you call them anti-features.
Exactly. And the list is short and sweet. No analytics, no tracking, no telemetry. Period. The heavy lifting is all done client-side right in your browser, not on some developer's infrastructure.
And this leads perfectly to that optional API server configuration we saw in the notes. For a self-hosted project, why would they even include the option for a server if the core mission is to be serverless? That seems a bit contradictory.
It's a testament to their commitment to optionality, not necessity. It's a fine distinction. That optional server is only for fetching external credentials for better connectivity, like, say, accessing premium Tern servers for even better reliability. But the core communication works perfectly without it. If you don't configure that optional server, the application just disables the features that rely on it. It reinforces that the core security model requires zero server-side logic from the developers. They built an enhancement, not a dependency.
That makes the distinction much clearer. Okay, so we've established security and trust, but is this just a basic text messenger for, you know, super technical people?
Far from it. This is where it gets really practical. ChitChatter supports full video and audio chatting, screen sharing, which is huge for quick IT troubleshooting, and maybe most impressively, unlimited file size transfers.
Wait, hold on. Unlimited file size, serverless. How does that even work without just bogging down the browser or needing some massive upload limit?
It's because the transfer happens directly between the peers. The file gets encrypted using the room name as the key before it ever leaves your machine. And then it's streamed directly to the receiver. No central server ever has to ingest, store, or forward that massive file. The system also handles multiple peers, limited only by your browser's capacity, and it has automatic peer verification using public key cryptography to confirm who you're talking to.
The combination of these high-fidelity features like video with the ephemerality is really fascinating. You could have a high-stakes meeting, share a huge file, and then the entire transcript and the file record just vaporizes the moment you leave.
It creates some really compelling use cases. The sources point to things like organizing groups think unions or political movements, where historical logs are an extreme liability. But it's also just incredibly practical for everyday needs, like securely sharing sensitive info like passwords or just moving a big chunk of text or data instantly between your own devices without relying on a cloud sync.
For someone listening who's trying to navigate this landscape, how do we establish trust in software when we can't see what's under the hood?
By making sure you can see under the hood. It's all about transparency. ChitChatter is fully open source under the GPL v2 license. This means anyone, you, a security professional, a whole community, is free and encouraged to fully audit the source code. On top of that, all the build logs for the application are publicly accessible. You aren't being asked to trust a brand, you're being asked to trust publicly verifiable code.
So it's relying on cryptographic proof and community scrutiny, which is the complete opposite of the centralized model's just trust us approach.
That's the core insight right there.
Okay, let's try to synthesize all this. If you could take away just one thought from our deep dive on ChitChatter today, what's the single biggest architectural takeaway?
The biggest takeaway is that ChitChatter minimizes third-party risk down to almost zero. By combining true P2P communication, getting rid of the need for any core API server, and ensuring total ephemerality, they've created a communication tool that guarantees that whatever you say stays between you and your recipient, and then it vanishes.
And here's where the architecture gets really interesting, though, and it raises a constraint that I think you need to mull over. The self-hosting documentation specifies that ChitChatter peer connections are fundamentally bound to the instance's domain. What that means is, if you host your own customized version on a personal server, let's say securechat.local, you cannot connect to anyone who is using the main chitchatter.im domain.
And that's a critical trade-off. It guarantees you have localized control and prevents one instance from, say, polluting another, but it also creates these isolated security islands. So while you achieve maximum self-control by self-hosting, it immediately limits the breadth and the reach of who you can talk to in that global web mesh.
Yeah.
The real big issue, wonder, how much does the desire for absolute self-sovereignty end up limiting the utility of a global peer-to-peer connection?
Indeed. It's a fundamental tension between trust and reach. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into secure, decentralized communication.
Thank you.
And a huge thank you once again to our supporter, SafeServer. SafeServer supports the hosting of this software and assists in digital transformation. Find out more at www.safeserver.de. We will catch you on the next deep dive.